With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Enjoy a tall, cool dude.
I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands. I discovered I was great at raging, and it revealed wonderful things about myself. I could relate to bros, regardless of what kind of bro they were. I could be at a party and moon people, and everyone would laugh, you know, be witty. Or I could play beer pong and compete with real integrity. In short, I fulfilled my potential.
The Nightcap on WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome in to the Nightcap. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Little pre-Thanksgiving show. Thanksgiving Eve. Sadly, one of my favorite nights of the year. Squashed. By the year we're having, COVID-19, social distancing. It does suck. You know, people that like to go out once in a while. Tonight's the night where you got your friends back in town. They either went away to school or they went away for a job. They're back home visiting family for Thanksgiving. They're there. They're ready to go out. And tonight, there's none of that. There's none of that at all. So that part really sucks about tonight. Little sad day for me, for many other people out there as well, I'm sure. But we keep going. Also sad is what the Thanksgiving football slate ended up being for tomorrow. I mean, are you kidding me? It frustrates me to no end that we have to put Detroit and Dallas on every single Thanksgiving. I know it's tradition. Nobody wants it, though. Who really wants Detroit and Dallas every single game, every single Thanksgiving? Last year was cool because the Bills were on. I would imagine, and I don't know this to be right, but I would imagine that fans were interested in that game nationally, less so because of the Cowboys, but because, hey, the Bills, you know, we haven't really seen them on national TV almost at all in the last decade. They're new. Let's see something different. And this year, Houston and Detroit, awful. Deshaun Watson's cool, but awful record, 2-7. Then Washington, Dallas at 4:30. Alex Smith versus Andy Dalton. Two teams, I guess they're in a divisional race, so you have that part of it. I actually think Washington's going to win that division, so maybe there's some interest in terms of that. But the team, both of them stink too. So you got four teams all with losing records playing tomorrow. So to me, that's sad in its own right. Hopefully you got some fantasy players, because otherwise I don't really know what you're doing watching those games other than just to have them on. Can we not flex Thanksgiving games? It would have been nice had Ravens and Steelers held up, but all the positive COVID tests, that game will be played Sunday at 1 o'clock. Going up against the Bills game, by the way, on NBC. They maintain those rights. Jody Biasi here on the Nightcap. Feel free to give me a call tonight at 803-0550. Bills and Chargers, we have not spent a lot of time really talking about that matchup yet this week on this show. We have spent a lot of time still trying to figure out what the Bills' place is in the NFL as well as the AFC. You see power rankings go around, by the way, and it kind of confirms to yourself what you think of them. Because I know a lot of times I put the Bills very high when I do my tiers on Tuesdays. And when I talk about how I've been doing this all season. I think they're more likely to beat Kansas City than Baltimore, who was the Super Bowl favorite coming into the year. Sometimes I think to myself, am I being biased? Am I being a homer? Am I being too positive on this team? Because, yeah, there's defensive issues, and they don't really have much of a ground game, and they've had some injuries, you know, around the team, offensive line in particular. They can't get healthy at linebacker. So there's been some stuff like that where, like, am I discounting that too much because of how good Josh Allen has been this season? Am I ignoring that month that Josh Allen had in October where he didn't really play all that well at all? Am I just throwing that out? Should I not do that? But then you see other publications, Pro Football Talk, ESPN, Fox Sports, like everybody's putting out power rankings, and I'm seeing the Bills in the top five, top 10 every single time. Today, like NBC puts out their power rankings. There's the Bills at fourth. Like, okay, I don't even think I'd have them at fourth. So maybe I'm not being biased. That's what we've been doing so far this week. Bills and Chargers on Sunday. This is an interesting matchup in that I think it's the first of many big games, or at least the first of many fun games that we might get to experience between Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. Last week, Brendan Keeney and I, here on the show, we ranked quarterbacks we'd like to start our franchise with under the age of 25. And both Allen and Herbert were near the top of the list. I think we had Allen third or fourth, and Herbert was maybe fifth, right there with Joe Burrow. Herbert comes after Josh Allen, and Allen after Patrick Mahomes. And I think those three players all kind of strike me as having some similarities. And maybe it's interesting for what the future of the position is that those three guys may end up ruling over this conference for a decade. Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger going out the door. Maybe in comes Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert. The way it's trending, there's a good shot of that happening. Herbert this year, to me, does have some similarities to Allen and to Mahomes. All three of those guys were drafted in the model of this guy has an insane amount of arm strength, an incredible amount of athleticism. Maybe he's a little raw. We can work with that. And if we make it work and we perfect what they are as a quarterback, we're going to have an elite player. And we're going to have our franchise guy. We're not going to have to worry about the next one for a very long time. And that's different than even the Joe Burrows and the Tua Tagovailoas and the Sam Darnolds of the world who, like, yeah, they have good athleticism, but it's more about the college production. And it's more about, you know, just the raw accuracy being their number one skill. And maybe now arm strength will supplant accuracy, just raw natural accuracy, as the number one thing you're looking for in a quarterback. And some teams have already operated under that parameter. That arm strength's what you're looking for. You won't even draft a guy if he can't chuck the ball down the field. You know, like, an Alex Smith is not going first overall anymore because how good is he down the field? Oh, he's more of a check down guy. He's more middle to, you know, middle routes, slants and like 10 yards and in. That guy's not maybe even going in the top 10, let alone maybe the first round anymore. Allen and Herbert and Mahomes too. Those three guys, all big, all huge arms, all good athleticism. Herbert is sneaky fast. For being 6'6", 236, he almost, the surprise element of his athleticism reminds me of Allen. Josh Allen got drafted, and I don't remember anybody talking about his ability to run. Like, we knew he could do it, but nobody knew that he was going to be this dual threat quarterback that he has kind of become. Nobody saw that coming. And then it was like one day he jumped over Anthony Barr, and it was like, oh my God, look at this guy. Look at the running ability on him. And Herbert is not the runner Josh Allen is, but his athleticism was much better than I thought it would be. Again, it's not crazy. Through 9 games, 187 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. So you pace that out for a full game or a full season sample size. We're talking about maybe just under 400 yards and 5 or 6 rushing touchdowns. That's a really good statistic for a quarterback rushing the football. And Herbert, to me, you can't put his record on him. He's 2-7 this season. It's the Chargers, you know? And maybe I'm giving the Chargers too much credit and Herbert too much credit in just grouping him in with Mahomes and with Allen as like these are the next three guys to rule over this conference. Deshaun Watson, by the way, absolutely deserves mention here too. It's easy to forget about him though because Houston's been so bad. But the Chargers had a great quarterback. They had a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback for more than a decade. And they were kind of a punchline. Like, Phillip Rivers was great. I think Phillip Rivers should be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think his production speaks for itself. I think he was hurt by his team a lot in terms of the coaching, especially the coaching. The offensive line, the wide receivers that he had to deal with a lot of the times, the defenses. Like, the supporting cast around Phillip Rivers was not always that good. But he was always a good quarterback. He was always good enough to keep them in games, and they'd lose by a point or two. Like, that just, to me, that's the Chargers. And they're doing the same thing. And maybe it won't change just because Justin Herbert's also great. This season, it's amazing to me. He's averaging exactly, well, not exactly, 299.9 yards per game. He is basically averaging 300 yards a game through 9 games. And he has 22 touchdowns, a 40-touchdown pace, 6 interceptions. He's turning the football over a little, but nothing crazy. On pace for like 11 interceptions. That stat line, that production, getting the ball to your number one receiver consistently, Keenan Allen having one of the best seasons of his career with Herbert there at quarterback. They don't have a running game at all. The defense is pretty good, but the talent on the defensive side of the football says they should be a lot better than they are. So he's not getting much help. There's weird end-of-game decisions. I don't know if anybody watched that Charger game last Sunday, but they've got the Jets done for, and Joe Flacco leads them back into that game. And even like the late-game situations, they're lucky it didn't blow up in their face. They have got a fourth down with 8 seconds to go. And instead of punting the ball away and either kicking it out of bounds or kicking it so high up in the air that the clock runs out and the guy has to call fair catch, or instead of having Herbert run around in the backfield for a couple of seconds and then just launching it deep, like there are plenty of ways to kill time. Here's the Chargers, Anthony Lynn and the Chargers. They run their punter backwards and they take a safety with 2 seconds left on the clock. Now they have to punt the football away to the Jets on a safety kickoff. And it's the same thing. Why wouldn't you have just punted the ball to them before? Because the only difference now is they will have more open field to work with. Your players will not get a running start to go cover this punt. And if the Jets were smart, they would have fair caught the ball around midfield, and they could have ran a Hail Mary at the end of the game. Now, they didn't lose the game, and maybe nobody else even noticed that that's what happened at the end of that Charger game. But it's decisions like that that get them beat late in these close games. And Herbert is making me wonder, will he be just the next guy in a long line of quarterbacks who will prop up the rest of their team to be just good enough to where you don't see an overwhelming change in the coaching staff or the front office or with the roster, because the quarterback is so good that you're never going to be bad enough for a big, massive changeover. And I wonder if that's what's in store for Justin Herbert. I liked Anthony Lynn as a coach idea before the Bills hired Sean McDermott. I liked the job he did in the first couple of years as Chargers head coach. There are, again, late-game decisions where you got to get better at that, but he never really has. So I don't really like what the Chargers have going on. They're 2-7, 3-7 for a reason. And Herbert has been incredible. You can't really ask him to be much better than he's been. He might throw for... I don't know if he has enough games to get there. He probably doesn't. But he's going to pass 4,000 yards. And hell, if he played the whole season, that extra game week one, you could have been talking about a 5,000-yard passer in his rookie season. That's Mahomes-level production. He is, to me, the closest thing in a rookie that I've seen to Patrick Mahomes. The ability to go off script, move on the run with pinpoint accuracy, the ability to make every single throw, make plays with your legs, and put up the kinds of numbers that he is right away at the beginning of his career. Herbert's been incredible. And you've got two guys now in the AFC, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, where they are elite-level quarterbacks. Watson, we know that for sure. Herbert is trending in that direction. But the teams around them, they're not going to be contenders anytime soon because of what's around them. And that's where you differ, and that's where the gap is right now between Herbert and Watson and Mahomes and Allen. Because with Mahomes and Allen on different levels, what they have are regimes that have surrounded them with exactly what they need to be Super Bowl contenders. Mahomes has already done it. They've won it, and they were already a contender before that. And they are right now. And the Bills are becoming Kansas City light. They're becoming the team that can throw the ball all over the field, that have a plethora of amazing, fast weapons that your quarterback can get the ball to that will create space and just always be open. And a commitment from the coaching staff, a scheme from the coaching staff to throw the football and to be as quarterback friendly as possible. The Bills and Chiefs have their guys in great situations. And Justin Herbert and Deshaun Watson are in awful situations. And to me, right now, there's a big gap between those two in terms of their teams. And for a casual football fan, it would be great to watch those four quarterbacks in the conference go back and forth for the next 10 years. But right now, you can only trust the Bills and Chiefs to have their guys in those situations year in and year out. Am I missing somebody, by the way? Am I missing someone in the conference that needs to be grouped in with Mahomes, Watson, Herbert, and Allen? Maybe Joe Burrow? It's tough, though, man, that injury. I mean, you never know what version of him's going to come back, but assuming he gets back healthy sometime maybe next year, Joe Burrow probably deserves entry into this conversation as well. I'm not putting Lamar Jackson there after the season he's having. Roethlisberger's older, so of course not with him. Tua has got a long way to go to enter this conversation as well. So, to me, like, Allen deserves to be in this category of the elite quarterbacks that could rule over this conference for the next decade. To me right now, if I got to pick five, it's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Herbert, it's Burrow, and it's Watson. At least we'll get to see Watson tomorrow. He's so fun to watch. Like, brutal at the end of that Bills playoff game for the Bills. To have that player with that kind of special ability just put you down. But, hey man, that's why we're going to get robbed of a potential Hall of Fame career from Deshaun Watson. Be robbed of big games from him that are fun to watch. Sunday night football, playoff games. Because, I mean, Houston, I mean, there's talk of them going forward with Romeo Crennel as their head coach. Like, good luck with that. 803-0550 is the phone number. What do you think of this Allen-Herbert matchup? Am I giving both of them too much credit? And is it right to compare Herbert to Allen? Let me know what you think. It's the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase. This is WGR.
Even though one of the top running backs, Eckler, went down, they're still getting it done in the run game. You know, their running backs are still finding holes, getting positive yards. Rookie quarterback throwing for over 300 yards a game. You know, how comfortable he is in the pocket. He's getting the ball out to his key targets, Keenan Allen and Henry, the tight end. So it's really unprecedented to see a young quarterback who played in a spread offense come out there and command an NFL offense so well. You know, so I think that's one of the things that really stands out is how comfortable he is. Like I said, he's throwing for about 300 yards a game. So you can tell he's real comfortable in that scheme without having an off season and things like that. So we understand that we got to get after them up front.
Bills pass rusher, Jerry Hughes. Welcome back to the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase here on WGR. I mentioned tomorrow's games between the Texans and the Lions and then Washington and Dallas. I think the NFC East right now is the worst division maybe I've ever seen in sports, let alone the NFL. Historically, right now, record speaking, they are the worst team in NFL history. By the way. But the Eagles right now, my brother Lou's Eagles, are to me the most interesting team in the league. They are in a weird spot. You don't see much like it. You've got a quarterback that you are darn sure is a franchise quarterback. Everybody in Philadelphia thought Carson Wentz was the answer, the franchise quarterback. We already know it. A couple of years ago, he had an MVP-level season. He's been really good the past couple of years. He's got a big contract. He is here for the long term. We don't really have anything to wonder about. We don't have anything to worry about. And then they draft a quarterback in the second round, Jalen Hurts. Super weird. This comes after, by the way, Nick Foles, the backup, wins a Super Bowl while Wentz is hurt. They draft Jalen Hurts. The 2020 season begins, and Wentz is just instantly horrible. Even if you didn't think he was that great to begin with, I mean, no one thought he was this bad. Easily leading the league in turnovers and turnover-worthy plays. Like, it's not just he's getting unlucky. He is throwing the football in some stupid areas. He's playing awful. And it's not 100% his fault. That team has been riddled with injuries more than anyone in football this season. On the offense especially. Alshon Jeffrey, wide receiver, has missed the entire year up until a couple of weeks ago. DeSean Jackson has missed almost the entirety of the season. Their first-round rookie wide receiver, Jalen Reagor, missed a huge chunk of the year. Their offensive line, there was a point a couple of weeks ago where their center, Jason Kelce, was their only healthy starting offensive lineman. They basically had to bring Jason Peters out of retirement, playing all over the line, playing guard, then playing right tackle, then playing left tackle. They're moving him all over the field because they just can't find anybody healthy. The tight ends. That's like one of the strengths of their offense, right? They got two really good tight ends. Dallas Goedert misses time. Zach Ertz misses time. Miles Sanders, the running back, misses time. Everybody's been hurt around Carson Wentz. So he has some excuses. But now he's getting guys back, and he's not playing better. He's playing just as bad as he's been. And you've got a second-round quarterback sitting there on the bench that you must have drafted for some reason. He's insurance, wasn't he? Wasn't Jalen Hurts insurance for Carson Wentz? Now, maybe it was more likely that that would only have to be put into the game when Wentz would get injured, if Wentz were to get injured. But how do you not put him in when you've got the guy playing the position worse than any other starter in the league? At some point, don't you got to see what you got? Especially when, and this, if I were in Philadelphia, I would be every single day yelling about, put Jalen Hurts in. Because if I'm the Eagles, I might be ready to move on anyway from Wentz. And here's what the situation is. I've got an incredible quarterback class coming up, or at least it's built up as that. Again, I went through yesterday that look at the 2018 quarterback class. Everybody thought it was going to be historically good. And 2 years later, Josh Allen and maybe Lamar Jackson are the only two playing like franchise quarterbacks. That's it. So it doesn't have to turn out this way, but at least at this point, the 2021 quarterback class is being built up as a really good one. Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, two of the best quarterback prospects that we have seen in the last decade. Zach Wilson and Trey Lance getting a lot of respect as first-round prospects, potential top 10 picks as well. So, you've got four guys there that you might want to consider drafting. And if you don't win the division, which who cares if you do anyway, because you're just going to get rolled in the first round. If you don't win the division, you likely will have a top pick somewhere in the top seven, potentially in the top five, maybe if things go even worse, the top three. And you have a good shot of being in range of one of those quarterbacks. And when you get to draft day, don't you want to know what you have in Jalen Hurts? Don't you want to know if he's worth starting next year? If he's worth moving on from 1 year in? Or at least not being a deterrent to draft one of these quarterbacks? Because Wentz is not going anywhere. And I guess Hurts isn't going anywhere either because he's a second-round pick. So this might be a lot to say they should draft one anyway. Because could you imagine a quarterback room with the guy who got paid big, who has had great seasons in the league, was your franchise quarterback. Then you've got the guy who was a second-round pick the year before and has hardly played. And then you're also going to throw in a top-five quarterback pick as well. Like, you would think something's got to give there. But what's best for your franchise? One of those quarterbacks might be. Starting over at that position might be. Someone's going to pay in Philadelphia. Will it be the coach? Will it be the GM? Will it be the quarterback? The coach has won a Super Bowl. The GM has got a pretty darn good resume of building contenders. The quarterback hasn't done either one of those things. So, I know you're stuck with the contract, but have him be the backup for a year and then get out of that dead money the year after. Shouldn't just commit to a guy because you think you're stuck with him. And that's, to me, why you play Hurts. Don't let him be another deterrent to not draft a guy. Because if you show up on draft day and you convince yourself, we don't need to pick Trey Lance at 6 overall because, hey, we haven't seen Hurts play yet, and maybe he's good. You'd want to know that by then. And then the other reason why you would want to play him is, again, Wentz is playing the position as bad as anybody in the league. And you are in the division lead. You're in first. Take advantage of it. At least see what Hurts has got. Can it get worse? It can't get much worse, can it? He's mobile. He's faster than Wentz is. So maybe he gives you more rushing. That could give you an element of your offense that you don't have right now. Go try and win the division at the same time as finding out what the second round pick is. Because the way they're going now, the way Wentz is playing now, what good can come from that? So to me, that's an easy one. That they should play the second rounder. They should play Jalen Hurts. And now would be a good time to do it. They play the Seahawks on Monday Night Football, who are historically, right now, trending to be the worst defense in the league at allowing passing that we've ever seen. That's the game you want to put him in, isn't it? I'm so glad this is not happening with the Bills anymore. Isn't it nice? Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Aren't you thankful that Josh Allen has really turned into the quarterback he's turned into? Sometimes those conversations are interesting, but you don't want them to happen with your team. It's fun to talk about it when it's the Eagles, or it's the Jets, or it's the Browns, or it's someone else in the league than the Bills. It's nice to just have a guy, you know he's good, maybe he's going to be great forever. I think Allen will be as good as he is right now for a long time. So I'm pretty darn sure. I think most everybody is that sure. It's nice to have. And we don't have to think about, should the Bills draft one of these guys? Should they try and move up? Should they keep an eye on it? Should they go for it? Or should they think about what their next quarterback prospect is? They could have so easily been the Bears. You know, we've been the Bears. The Bears right now they're 500. They're trying to decide. Well, they're not trying to decide. They know they want to go for it. They know they want to try to make the playoffs. But they're nowhere in terms of a long-term quarterback. Trubisky is at zero. And Nick Foles is Nick Foles. So, that's the worst place to be as a team. You have no future quarterback, and you're still trying to make the playoffs, and you're not that good. That's what the Eagles are right now to me. That is what the Bears are to me. It's what a lot of teams are. The Bills have exited from that. And here's to hoping that that stays that way for a long time. 803-0550 is the phone number. Taking your calls right after this on WGR.
And
there's a lot of excitement for sure. And whenever you got guys that obviously feel good and they can go out there and do their job, but you have depth behind them as well, makes their jobs a lot easier and makes our coach's job a lot easier too when you got guys that you can go in there and trust. But we've had some guys step up this year that have been unbelievable. Ike with what he's been able to do and stepping up for, whether it be John moving from left guard to center or Brian Winters is out, whatever the case may be with Cody missing. Guys just go up and they step up and they do their job, and that's a sign of a really good team.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen, he is having an incredible season. To even be in the MVP conversation, I think really tells you the leap that he has taken. I mean, just crazy good numbers on the year. 2,871 yards, 21 touchdowns, 7 picks. Here's how Allen's doing pacing out this year versus last year. He is, not even to mention completion percentage, which, funny, by the way, everyone stops talking about completion percentage not mattering. You heard that a lot over the past couple of years. In most cases, a defense of Josh Allen. Well, completion percentage doesn't tell you about accuracy. Yet, Allen takes a big step forward with his accuracy, among other things, in his game. And his completion percentage goes up 10 points. Oh, funny how that happens. 68% this year versus 58% last year. He is already... He's almost there. In terms of yardage, last year to this year. Last year, 3,089. This year, 2,871. I mean, he probably passes that on Sunday. Isn't that crazy? November, he's going to pass last year's yardage marker. Touchdowns, he's already passed last year. 20 last year, 21 this year. Interceptions, he's on pace to cross that as well. But as this also affects those other numbers, his passing attempts are way up. So that contributes to the increase in interceptions. It also contributes to the yardage and the touchdowns. But yards per attempt, it's not just he's throwing the ball more. That's why he's got more yardage. His yards per attempt are way up. 6.7 last year, 6.5 in his rookie season, 7.9 this year. That's a huge step forward for Josh Allen. 287 yards per game. And this is, I heard a lot of jokes on, especially us at the station, we're making it too big a deal. Like, finally, we're going to shut up about the 300-yard games, right? But this is what the 300-yard, that 300-yard stat coming into the year, where they hadn't had one in years. This is what we were looking for. It wasn't just, oh, we want him to get the 300 yards and that's it. It was a number that is represented by quarterback play at the top of the sport, which is where we want to be. And now that Allen's done it, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times this year, he's crossed 300, not to mention two games above 400. This season that Josh Allen is having, that's why the 300-yard chase was talked about so much. Because when your guy can consistently get to that number, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Having a 7-3 record, being considered one of the best teams in the league, while your defense is not playing well and your run game is not existent. That's what that number means. So to finally have that happening, can't wait for Sunday. That's where I'm at. Herbert versus Allen. A quarterback matchup that I think we're going to see for a long time, not just in the regular season, but if the Chargers can get their act together with what's around their quarterback, that could be a quarterback duel we see in the playoffs, too, a lot in the next decade. All right, thanks everybody for listening. I'll be back to talk more about Herbert versus Allen with Nate Geary on the pregame show on Sunday. I'll also be back Friday at 7 o'clock. We will be on the air day after Thanksgiving. Talk maybe a little bit about those Thanksgiving games tomorrow. We will see. Talk to you then, though. This has been the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.